Reporting from Burnaby, BC, this is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby. Researchers at Simon Fraser University and the University of British Columbia are working in collaboration with Civic Innovation Lab, TransLink, Evo CarShare, and Mobi BikeShare to identify potential transit futures in the city of Burnaby, primarily trying to identify how the future transportation landscape of the city can work towards reducing air pollution within the region. The research project is titled Community-Based Alternative Urban Transportation Decarbonization Pathways and Co-Benefits for Climate Resilience, Air Quality, Health, and Equity. As the name clearly suggests, this research project is covering a lot of ground, and currently it involves a series of community workshops throughout Burnaby where residents of the city are able to share their opinions on transportation in their neighborhoods. To learn more about the project's current findings, CJSF attended one of these workshops, where we were able to get in contact with Chris Busey, Assistant Professor of Health Sciences at SFU and co-principal investigator for the project. After the workshop, we sat down for a conversation with Busey, where we spoke on some of the project's key findings, potential outcomes, and how people living in Burnaby can still provide their input on transit policy within the region.
And I'm here today representing a team of researchers from multiple institutions, both Simon Fraser University, University of British Columbia, but also our colleagues at the Civic Innovation Lab, which is a partnership between SFU and the City of Burnaby, TransLink, Mobi, and Evo. And so we've all kind of come together with this goal of exploring how is it that we get people out of their cars and into their community, and how do we do that in ways that keep people moving? So this project is really about exploring different alternative scenarios, specifically for the City of Burnaby, with this very, very particular goal of reducing single vehicle kilometers traveled, or VKT. So how do we electrify our fleets to improve air quality? How do we also shift people's attitudes away from driving into micromobility, like riding and rolling, riding bikes or rolling scooters across town versus taking public transit, right, as an affordable and available option?
And where is the research project at the moment? What are some of the key findings?
There's kind of four different work packages in this project. We've got a group out of UBC Okanagan that's working on something called an agent-based model. And so what they're trying to figure out is how do people currently move across the city of Burnaby? What's their typical mode? What does that look like in terms of time spent on the road, going from various locations that we all visit in our day-to-day realities? So work, school, recreation, shopping, you name it. That group is then kind of sharing that what we understand about how people move across the city of Burnaby with a second group of folks that's then asking the question, what's the implication for air quality, right? What are the choices that people make? How does that actually influence concentrations of things like particulate matter and ground level ozone and nitrous oxides, things that can be really harmful for human health? And then our third PA is actually thinking about that from that kind of health modeling perspective. So really saying, okay, well, based on those emissions, what can we reasonably anticipate? How is this going to translate into things like emergency department visits, respiratory health conditions, and so on and so forth? And where we're at in the project right now is we've kind of taken that first pulse of data collection, that first pulse of analysis, and we're now bringing it back to communities to help us make sense of those models, help us make sense of some of those kind of core findings, and really start to identify opportunities where we might be able to kind of influence or nudge people's behavior towards more sustainable modes of transportation. And the thing that I want to impress upon you, Danny, and your listeners is, you know, this is a huge issue for Canada. We know that transportation, it's the second largest source of greenhouse gas emissions, so it plays a really significant role in terms of climate change here domestically, but also internationally. We know that those emissions have grown about 33% from 1990, right? So we're actually not moving in the right way. We're seeing more and more electrification, but those emissions aren't actually decreasing yet. And we also know that because of the primacy of gas-powered and diesel-powered automobiles on our streets, adverse air quality events are a significant and leading cause of mortality. We anticipate, or Health Canada's modeled out, that we see about 14,600 premature deaths every single year attributable to adverse air quality in Canada. So this is a really significant issue, not only from kind of a sustainability perspective, but also from a human health and well-being perspective.
And you said that one of the organizations involved with this research project is Evo Carshare. Are car sharing cars also a part of that KVT number that you had mentioned previously?
Yeah, so we've kind of released a survey to Burnabites. We had a mail-out survey that reached about 30,000 people across the city. And we asked them about their typical trip. So it's almost like compiling a trip diary. How did you get around, and what's your most selected mode of transportation? And so there we invited people to provide a whole host of information about how they get around, ranging from, again, single automobile trips to public transit, to cycling, to walking, to rolling, to car share, to ride hailing with things like Uber and Lyft. And other, we also invited people to kind of self-define how they get around if they didn't take any of those modes, and we wanted to learn about those. So car sharing is definitely one of these opportunities where we're starting to see, Evo as an organization spread out into more and more parts of Burnaby. It doesn't have complete coverage of the city yet, but we are seeing that it's being introduced as a really unique opportunity to enhance or at least reduce vehicle kilometers traveled, particularly in high density locations like apartment buildings, right, where you've got this opportunity to maybe restrict parking a little bit and really enhance the ability to share a single vehicle, for example, rather than having to own one and pick up all those maintenance costs and all the associated costs of using an automobile. So car sharing, definitely part of the mix. Bike sharing, also part of the mix. Public transit was kind of the second highest modal share from our survey. So people said, typically I use cars to get around the city. Transit is kind of a second choice, or the second most popular option. And then those, the other mixes of transportation from cycling to walking to car share, ride share, et cetera.
From the survey and the community workshops that you've been hosting, have there been any sort of prevailing opinions or findings that have surprised the team?
Well, I don't know if it was surprising, but I mean, the survey definitely indicates the primacy of gas-powered automobiles as the kind of principal way of getting around Burnaby. So that's probably not going to surprise anyone in the city of Burnaby. But I think what we were kind of curious about, we asked a whole bunch of attitudinal questions to really figure out, like, how are people making discrete choices around how they get around? And what are the kind of levers that we could potentially pull on to encourage people to take, more sustainable mobility options and make that a reality? And so some of the things that we're hearing right now from community members, in addition to findings from the survey, is that cost is obviously a really significant pressure, right? So the higher the price of fuel, the less likely people are to drive. The higher co the cost of maintenance, the less likely people are to drive. But in the same breath, we're also hearing that transit is really expensive across Metro Vancouver. And so we're trying to, play around and hear from people, what would it mean for us to offer free transit? What would that cost look like? How would that actually encourage or shift mode share to transit? Is there kind of like an upper limit or a lower limit to transit pricing that would encourage the most number of people in Burnaby to actually access and utilize that particular transportation? Similarly, we're hearing a lot of things around infrastructure development, right? Even is things as simple as like the lack of covered bus shelters is a real disincentive to people taking the bus, in addition to route regularity, right? There's a couple of kind of things where people have said, well, what if we kind of developed a rapid bus system between Metrotown and Lougheed, for example, and really tried to encourage people to move sustainably across the city and move quickly. So, at its core, Danny, this project is really, it's asking the question, how do we make the sustainable choice the most affordable choice and the most efficient choice for people across the city of Burnaby? How do we achieve that in ways that people who reside and live and work and play and commute through Burnaby, how do we do that in a way that actually brings them along and encourages them to make that choice?
I attended one of these workshops last week in Metrotown, and I think one of the prevailing things I heard is that the biggest barrier is that there is still the perception that whether it's biking or public transit, a personal vehicle is always going to be the fastest choice when it comes to getting around. Has this project sort of identified not just, how to sort of reverse that thinking, but also to address that, because, in a lot of cases, that is the case within Metro Vancouver.
Yeah, it's definitely a prevailing opinion, right? That this idea that cars are going to be they're going to give me the most flexibility, and it's going to be the easiest way for me to get around the city. I think what we're also hearing in those workshops is that people are actually making some really intentional decisions around about how they move around, and it really depends on what their location is and what the purpose of travel is. So we know from our survey results, for example, that people are much more likely to drive if there's going to be a perception of them having to carry heavy things like groceries, for example, right? The people are much less likely to take transit, even if it's the cheaper option and requires no parking and no stress and anxiety around any of that. Carrying those heavy grocery bags up an escalator and onto the train and then all the way home might be enough of a barrier to encourage car ownership. We're also hearing from people that, depending on where they're going, certain disincentives like limited parking, for example, or a prohibitive cost of parking is actually encouraging people onto transit and onto SkyTrains, right? So those are some of those levers, again, that we're trying to figure out what is the right balance in terms of costing that encourages people to shift towards that more sustainable option. And in the case of other forms of micromobility, what are the types of infrastructure and where would people actually like to see that infrastructure located on their city? So one of the big barriers that we've heard around active transportation, for example, in Burnaby, is that we know it tends to be a much younger group of predominantly well-educated men who cycle across the city of Burnaby. We kind of found that's the case across a lot of different neighborhoods. The question really becomes, okay, well, we know that east-west transportation on bike is pretty good. We also know that Burnaby's pretty hilly, right? So how are we making intentional decisions around where we locate that cycling infrastructure to make it as low barrier as possible? And similarly, what are the right kind of north-south routes to enhance connectivity of Burnaby's existing cycling infrastructure? Because we know that that's a huge barrier to people biking. And the number of times I heard in the last week, I'm on my bike and then I get really frustrated because my bike lane just ends and it spits me out into traffic and there is no real sense of connectivity or sense of a network. That's true not only just when we think about cycling, but when we ask the question, okay, well, if we were biking, how do we make our transportation system in Burnaby as connected as possible across modes, right? So maybe we can't bike the entire way to a destination, but maybe it's about that first and last mile where we might bike to a particular location and that connectivity is actually encouraging connection through other forms of transportation like transit, car sharing, and so on and so forth.
Okay, I think I have one more question to ask, and that would be for those now just hearing about this research project that want to get their voices out there, want to get involved, want to contribute. How can they best do that?
Yeah, there's a couple of ways. So first and foremost, we're hosting a series of workshops across the city right now. And there's a mix of online and in-person workshops. I'd encourage people to check out if they Google SFU Create Decarbonizing Transit, you'll find Vahid Hosseini, who's the nominated principal applicant. We have a website on the web for SFU. All of the links for our workshops are listed there. So please, I would encourage your listeners to register, come out, share your opinion with us. We will be hosting other workshops as well in the future. This is just kind of our first kick at the can, but you'll also see us out in the community this summer. We've had lots of invitations from other organizations to come to block parties and community fairs and host a booth and engage people. So we're hoping to have a presence in the community this summer at public events. Beyond that, you can reach out to any of the members of our team, and it would certainly encourage your readership when you find Vahid's website to reach out. If you can't attend those workshops, we're always happy to hear from folks and receive your big, bright ideas by email.
Once again, that was our conversation on the Alternative Urban Transportation Decarbonization Research Project based in Burnaby with Chris Busey, a co-principal investigator with the project, as well as an assistant professor of health sciences at Simon Fraser University. To learn more about the project as well as the team involved, go to sfu.ca's Create page and look for the project titled Decarbonizing Communities on Road Transportation. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. This segment would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca.